Today's Tanya, for the 24th day of Sivan, is in Shara Yichud Ve'emuna, the 7th chapter, Perek Zayin. It's on page 166. The number at the bottom of the page is 316. And we're at the bottom of the page, next to the last line, the last line on the page. The Rebbe is saying that there were scholars, Torah scholars, who made the mistake in their study of the writings of the Arizal, where he talks about the Tzimtzum, the concealment of God. They mistakenly took that to mean literal Tzimtzum. They took the Tzimtzum literal. What does it mean, literal? On the one hand, they believe that God is everywhere, and there's no place devoid of Him. Because anybody who believes in God knows that God cannot be restricted or be absent from any place. But what that presence consists of, and therefore what the absence consists of, can be understood on many levels. The way they understood the presence of God was that God had influence and power and control over all parts of the world, so that there was no part of the world that was devoid of His influence. But the influence comes from a distance. That's how they misunderstood the concept of Tzimtzum. And the Rebbe says that may God forgive them for their mistake, because it is a misunderstanding and therefore a failure to believe properly in Achdus Hashem. What is the truth? The truth is that the Tzimtzum merely conceals from the created being the presence of God, but does not prevent God from being present. And not only being present in His influence, the way will is present in the hand by influencing the hand, but not by entering into it and becoming part of the hand's condition, as it would be with seichel. When seichel enters the hand, when you teach your hand to write, or you teach your foot to dance in an orderly fashion, then the foot has actually gained something. The intelligence has become a part, an element within the foot itself. In fact, it becomes the most central and the most significant element of the foot. When God enters the world, that God is present in all of creation and in every part of creation means that He is part, not only part, but the essence of the condition of this physical being. It's not that the physical being has its own condition and God stays away from it because it is not worthy or capable of containing God. Nothing is capable of containing God. Not the higher world, and certainly not the lower world. So it's not up to the being to be worthy and be capable of containing God. God is everywhere because there's nothing besides Him. And therefore to say that God stands apart from the physical condition because it is lowly, and God remains in a spiritual condition, in a heavenly condition, because that is more appropriate for Him, that is attributing to God physical properties. To say that the heavens are more appropriate and therefore more capable of containing Him than is the earth, that's giving God a location which is a physical property that can't be attributed to God. In addition to which, if we admit and believe, as we all do, that God is aware of every detail of the world, how can He be aware of it and not be in it, not be of it? Since He and His awareness, God and His knowledge, are one and the same. Where His knowledge is, He is. As we explained a couple of days ago, earlier on in Perek Zayin of Shara Yichud Ve'emuna. And now we continue on at the bottom of the page, 166 or 316. Zehu gamkin inyan seiv kol almin. This is also the explanation for the level, for the madrega of seiv kol almin, that God encompasses or surrounds the world. Pirush, what that means is that chmoshon Kishadam is beinin be'ezed var chachma b'sichlein. For example, a person is contemplating some subject in his mind. Eidavar gashmi b'machshavtei, or he is thinking about some physical object. Azai sichlei u'machshavtei, then his understanding and his thought, his intellect and his thought, makifim al hadavar hahu, surrounds that subject or that object, hamitzuyer b'machshavtei b'sichlei, which he is picturing in his thought or in his mind, ach ein makifim al hadavar hahu mamish b'peil mamish. When a person understands, comprehends a subject or an object, what he is grasping in his mind is the image of that thing, the concept of that thing, but not the thing itself. The object itself, that which he is observing, is not present within his mind. What is present in the mind is only the image of that object. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu d'chsiv beit kilei machshavei seichem. God, concerning whom we say that his thoughts are not like our thought grasps only the image of a thing. But machshavtei v'yediyosei, his thought and his knowledge, sheyedeya kol hanivroyim, that in that he knows all created beings, the nature of that knowledge is that it's makefes kol nivra v'nivra b'peil mamish. It grasps and surrounds not the idea of that creation, not the image of the creation, but the creation itself. Shahadei hi hi chayusei v'hishavusei me'ayim liyesh b'peil mamish. Because this knowledge that God has of this object, of this created being, is the life and the existence of that being. It's not two separate things, as it is with the human intelligence, where human intelligence is separate from the object and subject that he is considering and studying, and therefore he can grasp only the image that that other thing makes on his mind, or in his eye, in his thought, because they're two separate things, and always remain two separate things. But with God and creation, every being is the result of God's producing it out of nothingness, constantly and literally, and therefore God's knowledge of that thing is that thing's existence. So we can't say that his knowledge is only of the image of the thing, it is the thing itself. That's called surrounding the world. And when we say that God fills the world, he bechinas hachayis hamislabeshes teich etzem hanivrom. That is the life that God gives, that is clothed within the created being itself. Shehi mitzumtzemes beteiche betzimtzum zav kifi erech muhus hanivrom. When this life that God gives is restricted and is measured according to the capacity of the individual creature, there's only little, very little life given to the inorganic, to the stone, and a little bit more life given to the vegetable, somewhat more to the animal, and even more to the human being, each according to their level. Shehu balgvul v'tachlis, because each creation is a finite being and has a finite definition, b'kamusei v'echusei, both in quantity and in quality, the amount of life and the quality of life, d'haynu ma'ilosei v'cheshivusei, and that's what gives it its standing, its position of importance, k'gein hashemesh, as for example the sun, Shegufe yesh gvul, yeshle gvul v'tachlis. B'kamusei, the body of the sun has a limit in its quantity. Shehu kemei kuf samach zayin pa'omim kegedul kadur ha'oretz. The size of the sun in quantity is 167 times the size of the earth. That's its limit, that's its size in quantity, the echusei umailosei, and its quality and its importance, the light that it gives. That is the qualitative significance of the sun, is that it illuminates, gives light and life and so on. And that too has its limit. Gam ken yesh legvul ad kama yuchol lehayir. It has a limit as to how far it can illuminate. Ki lo yoyer lebilti tachlis, because it will not illuminate endlessly, infinitely. Me'achar shehu nivra, since it is a created being. The sun is a created being, and therefore everything about it has its finite dimensions. Chayin kol anivroyim. The same is true with all created beings, Hein Balig, Vul Vitachlis, they all have their limit, Ki Me'aret, Lirikiyah, Mahalach Tav Kushana, etc. So that the universe itself also has a limit, because the distance between heaven and earth is the 500 years of travel. And between each heaven and so on and so forth, all together, it all comes out to a finite number of years of travel. That is the size and the dimension of the universe. The imkain, this being the case, chayis hamelubeshes bohem, the life that is clothed within these finite beings, he bebechinas tzimtzum rava otzum, is very restrained, very contracted, and limited, with many tzimtzumim, in order that it should be what it is. Kitzricho tchilo leistam tzimtzumim rabim va'atzumim, because it must first be contracted, very powerfully contracted, and with many contractions, ad sheyishave mikoicho ve'ezo, until from the power of that divine life, and from the light of the divine light power, there should come about the existence of etzem hanivrayim kemeis sheheim balei gvul v'tachlis. The essential character of the created being as they are finite and limited beings. In other words, the essential existence of the thing, the fact that it is existent and not non-existent, for that the divine force doesn't have to be limited and restricted to the size and measurement and to the conditions and properties of the object that is being created. But in order to give the object its essential condition, its nature, and its finite definition, for this, the creative force itself also has to be limited. But limited means concealed from view, but not absent and removed in the sense of a literal symptom. In today's Hayem Yem, for the 24th of Sivan, the Rebbe writes that you ask, obviously it's an answer to somebody in a letter, you ask how to become mekusha to me, how to become connected in an intimate way to the Rebbe. And your difficulty is that you don't understand how that can happen, since I don't know you personally. The true bond is created by studying Torah. When you study my Maimonim and you read the Sichos and associate and befriend those who are dear to me, which are all Hasidim, and particularly the students of the yeshiva, in their studies, you join them in their studies and in their fabringens, and you fulfill my request regarding the chitas, the saying of Tilim, and observing Torah studies. This is what creates the bond.